I am grateful that after preaching here a couple weeks ago, the invitation to preach again today was not revoked. John Joseph, if you had to intervene, thank you. Most of us are personally distant from the tragedies that have dominated the news this week, the deaths of 157 people in the crash of the Ethiopian Airlines plane, and the killing on Friday of 50 people at prayers in mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. But the news, stories, and the film footage bring these events close to us and add layers of anxiousness to our lives, additional layers of trauma that accumulate with the news of each successive catastrophe. We wear these layers uneasily. Catastrophes are not new to our age. They are ageless. But the incessant, repetitive news of them is unique to our time. They become ingrained into our present experience, and they become quite personal to us. With each one, their weight increases. The Ethiopian Airlines crash became a little bit personal for me this week, as I learned that the son of Roy and Edna DeMarsh, Peter, was on board. Peter's father, Roy, now deceased, was a United Church minister. Peter's mother, Edna, lives in New Brunswick, where she learned the news of her firstborn's death. Peter was a leader in the International Family Forestry Alliance, and he served as the president of the Canadian Federation of Woodlot Owners. His sister, Helen, remembered his brilliance, devotion to humanity, and the well-being of the planet. He, as others, was on his way to Nairobi to the conference on environmental issues. No doubt there are among us this morning ones who are closer to this tragedy than I am, or to the unfathomable assault in New Zealand on Friday. Grace and peace be with you in this time. We are without words or constructs to understand, process, or explain such events. Abraham and Sarah, that story seems distant from today and from the events of today, but they're not all that distant. They are two of the pivotal characters shaping our faith stories. They emerge first as Abram and Sarai on the Mesopotamian plain, the land of Ur, or the modern-day Iraq. This region is considered the home of the earliest human civilization in our records, dating back more than 7,000 years. As with so many of the biblical characters, think of them less as two historical individuals who lived in a specific time and place, and more as composite depictions, representatives of our human story. Their story, our story, is one of a people growing into complex linear thoughts of God. They see themselves drawn forward by God into the unknown realms of God. They venture beyond what is known and familiar to them, from lands that are secure. They do so with an evolving trust that God is with them, willing more in life for them than they even dare to will for themselves. We undertake similar journeys. As children, we venture beyond what is known, testing what must be tested, returning to that which is secure. Dr. Katharina Manassas of Sick Kids Hospital has done some of the leading research in our developmental pathways as we venture out and come back, as we build confidence and security. Katharina is a member at St. Mark's United Church in Scarborough, where I served for 23 years, and has published some of the most comprehensive research on this. Each venture she describes expands or contracts our world, depending largely on the security of what we have to retreat to. Some of us are more daring than others, perhaps by nature, perhaps by experience. As adults, most of us continue to test the parameters of what may be trusted, though others of us, experienced in betrayal and broken trust, will stay pretty close to home, to what is known, what is secure. No less so with faith endeavors. Abram and Sarai reflect this human experience. They venture out, they stumble, they come back. Something always, though, compels them to venture out again. In that venturing out, they expand the horizons of humanity and they engage a conscious relationship with the divine. In today's reading, we meet them testing again new ground. Look toward heaven and number the stars, God says, if you are able to number them. Look beyond anything that you know. Look beyond anything that you can imagine. So shall your descendants be. There's a sense here that even the most improbable is probable with God. Abram believed God, who reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abram and Sarai trust. In the verses that follow, there is a complex ritual described that can only hold meaning for a culture and society that is familiar with animal sacrifice. Detail aside, the point is that humanity is placing its trust in God, in God, in humanity. They dare to set out into the unknown, confident that God is with them. They are not alone. Echoes of something we know well. Verse 12, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a dread and great shadow fell upon him. The lectionary skips over the next four verses, but I think in these verses is the crux of our human maturation. Then God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." James Carroll, an American author, historian, journalist, and Roman Catholic reformer, preaching at Trinity Wall Street Episcopal Church recently in Manhattan, recalled the earlier story in the book of Genesis in which humanity in the Garden of Eden, that idyllic realm of untainted wonder, eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. The story is told that a serpent seduced Eve into eating the prohibited fruit, and she, Adam. Having defied God, they are cast out of the garden, and our human travail begins. Maybe, Carroll said, God didn't chase Adam and Eve out of the garden. Maybe God wanted us to eat and behold, to see what God sees. Maybe we fled because we did not want to accept the full knowledge of the unfinishedness of this realm. And we were frightened by the continued pangs that will come with his ongoing birthing. Another writer, Kohelet, author of the book of Ecclesiastes, written in the 5th century before this common era, reflects upon a world which is constantly changing, in which order and reason, rules and routines are no longer fixed. Nothing in life can be grasped, contained, described, or explained, he says. Many conclude that life is simply out of control, that it's like, I don't know, like wind or mere reflection, fleeting imagination. In his wisdom, though, Kohelet says, no, things happen. There will be a time when we will be born, and there will be another time when we will die. There will be a time when we will laugh, and there will be a time when we will cry. There will be a time when we are consumed by hatred, and there will be a time when we will live in the fullness of peace. There will be a time for everything under the heavens, for what will be has been before. Herod awaits in Jerusalem. His plan is not pleasant. Many others have fallen victim to many other Herods before him, and many others will fall victim to Herods after Jesus. What will be, as Qohelet says. Creation continues to groan as in the pains of childbirth, as Paul will say. This is the point. In our faith stories, we are not exempt from the defeats and the challenges, the sorrows and disappointments, the fears and the dangers of life in this realm. That is what Abraham sees in his dread, in that great shadow that falls upon him. There will be 400 years of trial. I wonder if this 400 is a play on the biblical, traditional biblical 40, which is representative of an undefined long period of time. If so, it's 10 times longer than we can possibly imagine. Perhaps this is what Adam and Eve saw when they ate of the fruit. The point where our emerging concept of the divine presence in our midst matures is with Abram and Sarai, seeing that trial will be part of their future, do not retreat back into what they know and what seems secure. But instead, they arise in the morning and they press on, determined to place their trust in God and with God. In the cloud of the unknown, they trust that God will be there. Our mantra a millennia later echoes their trust in life, in death, and in life after death. You know, we are not alone. These stories all point us to a faith that is not dependent upon a rose garden or a cakewalk, nice as they are. A faith that is not shattered when we find ourselves, as Julie Howard in the beautiful haunting hymn in Voices United writes, in the crater carved by sadness, the gaps between the meaning, or in the silky void of darkness. When our life's journeys take us or ones we love into that valley of the shadow of death, even here, we are encouraged to not fear. These fires will not consume us. I know part of us never wants to let go of that longing for a God who will rescue us from times of trial, you know, gallantly ride in on a tall, mighty steed and vanquish our enemies. Maybe this is why when Mark records Jesus speaking plainly, as he often does, of the suffering that will in all likelihood befall him, Peter rebukes him. Mark describes Jesus jumping all over Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Even Jesus wrestles to not be seduced into believing and wishing it to be otherwise. The invitation is to live in the voids. The risk is always that these dread places will wound us as they do Jacob on that night on the banks of the Jabbok. Jacob will limp for the rest of his days, we are told, as many of us limp with our own dark encounters. Sometimes the consequences may even be mortal, as they will be for Jesus. But the promise remains. Our being is not limited to here and now. It is not defined by that which conscribes or confounds, that which wounds or even ultimately kills. The will of God is full life abundant with blessing, more abundant than the stars in the night sky, and as persistent as the hen who gathers her brood under her wings. Abram and Sarai will press on. Events will change them, but it is trust that will sustain them. And trust will sustain us in the cloud of the unknowing. Amen.